Welcome to the Keep Texas Red Podcast, where we discuss the importance of true conservative values. Follow us on KeepTexasRed.org. And now, here's your host, campaign strategist and political commentator, Joseph Vargas.
And our guest today is a German reporter who does investigative journalism in the United States and Latin America for numerous international publications. She covers issues other media will not cover, like child trafficking, election fraud, the truth about BLM, COVID, among others. Welcome, Vicky Richter, to the Keep Texas Red podcast.
Hello. Thank you for being at your podcast.
Well, we're glad you're here. Now, you are from Germany. So tell us a little bit about your life. How was your life in Germany?
So where shall I start? So I was born in Eastern Germany while the Great War was there. So when the Cold War was still active and Germany was separated in two parts, like Western and Eastern Germany, and I was born in the communistic socialistic dictatorship of the German Democratic Republic. So I have a little bit about experience about a socialistic dictatorship. My mom took me and my brother out of Eastern Germany while the war was still there. So we were refugees in our own country. And she wanted us to grow up in a free world and not in a propaganda socialistic dictatorship where you not allowed to say anything because your neighbor it could be a worker for the government and report everything, and then they take your stuff away, or you have to wait 18 years for a car. And she wanted us to live free, and so she decided to leave everything behind. Took our two of us. I was 2 years old. My brother was 5 years old. And yeah, and then we had the chance to grow up in Bavaria, in a town near Munich, in Augsburg. And yeah, that was a very, very wonderful time for me to growing up in Bavaria. And in this time, I learned loving my country, loving being German. And I joined the army in 2008. And then I was 8.5 years in Special Forces, PSYOPs. Now I'm a journalist and fight against socialism again. Or I fight against it, and I had to flee from it again.
So you live here in the United States now?
Yeah, I have a journalist visa, so I work here and live here because you can't go home every day to Germany. And I'm very, very happy about living here and living in freedom again. So it's totally different to what I experienced in Germany the last 24 months. And I'm very thankful and grateful that I can be in America right now.
So now, Vicky, did your experience with the gradual growth of government tyranny and the rise of socialism in Germany, did that influence the topics you choose to write and cover in your journalism career?
So that's a good question, because when I was in the army, we did white propaganda and wrote articles for the countries we were deployed in. And so I got the first experience being a journalist in the German army. And then when I came back from a holiday trip from the US in 2020, I actually wanted to visit only 2 weeks in March, and then I got the last plane out to America, and then President Trump put the travel ban on, so I had to stay till July 4th. And I got an experience how America dealt with the first COVID hit with the social distancing mask thing and stuff. And I heard about what's happening in Germany, and then I was very curious about it when I heard what happens to the children over there, because my mom told me that, because my daughter was with my mom in Germany, because I didn't expect to stay so long in America. After that, I came back. I saw everything what we did in the army with other people. So the propaganda part, telling everyone the same thing. The whole world has the same media outcome. Everyone is talking about the same fear. That's not normal. And then I said, okay, I learned that in the army that this is not real, and I want to investigate about that, and I want to write about it. And then I got more and more into the freedom movement in Germany, and I was actually in the front line reporting from most every protest in Germany and in Europe. I was in the Paris protests, I was in Spain, in Poland, in Switzerland, in Austria. And it was really eye-opening what happens to us, because we were beaten down by the police in Germany, even as reporters, because we weren't mainstream. We were independent journalists. We didn't put the camera only out when the so-called violent far-right and anti-COVID protesters came. No, we filmed everything, and we saw how the police tried to make stress and make the people angry that they get violent. Or when the Antifa came and tried to hit at the peaceful protesters, because most of our protesters were peaceful, because in Germany we are very peaceful and we don't really want to have stress. We just only want to have our own voice, and we have a right to protest. We have a right for freedom of speech. This is what we thought about it, but it's not going to happen. So actually we had the DDR, the Eastern Germany, in whole Germany now, because nobody was allowed to talk about the real stuff. When you started saying, hey, that's actually only a flu, you got beaten up in a train because you don't wear a mask. And everything what you had to do is following orders and not asking about the truth or what is behind the orders. And this is a very, very dangerous path when the government says, don't ask, just do. And every time when the government starts doing that, you know what happened with the Third Reich, with Hitler in the 30s? I don't say that we have now the same thing with the 30s, because this was a horrible thing with Jews. But what happens now with the people who are not following the orders is kind of similar, because we are got separated from the social life. We're not allowed to go to cinemas anymore. They totally cut us off from social life. And this is we don't have a forced vaccine in Germany, but it's a forced vaccine through the back door, because everything what you want to do with fun or stuff is, hey, you have to get a vaccine. You want to go traveling, go to get the vaccine. Hey, you want to go grocery shopping, wear a mask. Even when you are too ill to wear a mask, you have to show a paperwork from a doctor which says, what is your disease? What causes the symptoms that you can't wear a mask? And a random cashier who didn't even study medicine can read what you have. And this is not fair, not right, because I don't have to show anyone about what I have for a disease only because I'm not able to wear a mask. But this is how they gonna treat you and bring you back in line, because this is a psyops war. They damage you so much that you are afraid to stand up for your right, and so you just obey. And this is what I saw in America is starting now too, but they don't really can do it in the fast way they did in Australia or in Germany, because you still have the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment is the most important weapon what you have against the tyranny and dictatorship.
You saw how the government tyranny took over Germany and Europe, and all the violation of human rights. So from what you're seeing in America, like you said, with the mandates and the government allowing the border invasion and all the government overreach, so do you think America is heading in the same direction as it is in Germany?
So in several states, it's already there. So you just have to look to California or New York. In New York, you can't even go to a restaurant inside without a vaccine card, showing the vaccine card, or you're not allowed to go on the Empire State Building because you don't have a vaccine card. So it's already here. And when you see what the government is doing with your with the 6th of January protesters, they are domestic terrorists because they say, oh, there was an election fraud. You are a domestic terrorist when you say, oh, COVID is not real. So every narrative what you question makes you to a terrorist. And this is a sign that America is going more and more in this direction, but they are still don't have the power yet to overrule everything. You see this with the with Florida, for example, or even with Arizona and Texas, that they still don't have too much power, and more people are waking up and just don't wear a mask. Or they don't just come to your house and say, hey, if you don't get vaccinated, you get kicked out of your job in normal companies. Yes, this happens with the military and with the firefighters and the police, but these are governmental institutions, departments, so that's a different thing. But you still have more and more patriots in your country, and this is what happened in Germany and in Europe, that we lost our patriotism since decades. They trained us to hate our own country, because when you're just coming to Europe and you ask a person, hey, where are you from? Most of all, the Germans would say, hey, I'm European, I'm not German. Or when you say, hey, so this is totally unnormal in Germany to have the flag outside of your house. Nobody has that. When you here in America, it's totally normal. And I love that, showing your colors, showing your patriotism. But this is what makes you in Germany to a Nazi, even when you just say, hey, I'm proud of being a German. And this is what they try to do with your country too. So with all this new woke stuff, they try to delete and eliminate all of your patriotism, your love of your country, because if you don't love your country, you don't really fight for it.
You know, so I'm listening to you, and as you're describing a lot of the things that were happening in Germany, it sounds very similar to what's happening here in the United States with the Democrats, how they're actually finding it even offensive to display the American flag. Now, here there's a lot of people, especially on the left, that were very complicit. You know, they're very easy to sway to follow the government tyranny. Were people as docile in Germany to follow the government tyranny?
So the problem in Germany is that we are a social democracy, and we have a social economy. So we get a lot of money from the state. Even as a when you get a child, you get child money. So you get every month 180 euros to be allowed or to get help to raise your child. But this makes an indirect contract with the government, so they have power over you. And this is what we have in Germany too. So we have a lot of social nets where people get safe and get help. So when you lose your job, you actually get directly money from the state, and you don't really have to work anymore. It's not much, but it's enough to survive. So, or that you get extra bonuses because you are disabled or something. So they, the government, give us very little biscuits to be happy. But if we start doing something against the government, they can take it away immediately. They say, hey, you're not work. So they start court for lawsuits against you because you don't wear a mask. And then they can say, okay, you get unemployment money. There's a lawsuit against you. Maybe we're going to cut that down. So most of the people say, oh, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my benefits. I don't want to get a problem with the government. I don't want to get a problem with the police. I just keep my head down. And this is the problem when the government has too much power over you. So if they give you too much money, they can control you, because money is the thing what you need. You can't survive without money. So you can, if they cut the money away, you have a problem. This is with the bank accounts or even with PayPal. So I had four PayPal accounts for my journalism to get donations, and I got free donations, and then they cut it down. They just deleted it. And even bank accounts in Germany are now deleted, because they say, oh, you are working as a activist, and private banks, they just delete your bank account. So this is how they try to keep you in line with the money. And this is what's happening in America too, I think, because of the stimulus checks what you get. And they say, okay, it's better I stay at home, don't work or open up my business because I get the stimulus check. But when you think about it, how much money the government gives you over the stimulus check, this bunch of money you can't even pay back with taxes. So your country gets poorer and poorer, and the federal banks get more and more power over your country. And then your country is the slave of the federal bank system because they say, hey, you have a bunch of a debt. You have to pay that back. How do you want to do that? Okay, you're going to raise taxes. This is what's happening now with gas prices. It's not about a Ukraine thing. You can just open up this pipeline there. It's not far away in Alaska, I guess. So why isn't your government doing that? Because they want to make you to a slave of them to get more and more in their social system and say, hey, yeah, social economy is a good thing. The government helps us more. We don't need our communities because the government take care of us. So we get lazy and stay at home and say, hey, the government take care of us. And this is the first step getting into slavery of your government.
You know, that's a very important point that you're making, because what a lot of people don't understand, especially a lot of the people that come from like Mexico and South America, because over there, it's the same thing. You know, the government purposely makes them dependent on government help to control them afterwards. And a lot of people don't understand that what the government can give you, the government can also take away. So once they give you something, they start conditioning everything. And then, like you said, you become a slave of the government. So now, Vicky, you've also been down there at the border. You know, I saw you were you've been in the Texas border, you've been at the Arizona border, and you've even spoken to people that have crossed here illegally. Have you seen any signs of human trafficking, or more specifically, child trafficking?
So, when I was in Arizona, I had an experience what I think would end up in child trafficking, because I saw a group. That was in Pima County, of a group of 87 children in 10 days who are crossing the border. They were dumped in the desert at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they just crossed the border through a gap at the wall, and then they were alone. So there were, I saw two groups. So the largest group was 57 children and two adults. And you can't tell me that two women can have so much children. So, and even some of the children there was one girl, she was 14, and she was carrying her own baby, which was three, not older than 5 months old, and she was from Venezuela. And we talked with some of them, and they said, yeah, we are from Venezuela, we are happy to be here, and we are hoping that our sponsors get us. And then we made a checkup what's happening with sponsors. So the process in Arizona is, okay, the people are crossing your border, your wall, and then Border Patrol gets them and brings them to the facility, of the Border Patrol facility. Then they're going to call the number of the person who is on the paperwork who says, hey, I'm the sponsor of this person, so I can take care of it, of the person. And normally they react very, very nice, because Border Patrol only calls from one specific number or two specific numbers, because it's from one facility. So they know, okay, when this number is calling, I know, okay, this is a 14-year-old girl. Yeah, she's my cousin. Yeah, she comes to Sarasota, Florida, or I don't know, somewhere in America. And then Border Patrol says, okay, we can send the child or the girl or the family to this sponsor. So we found one girl, she was from Honduras, and she had the paperwork with her and the phone number. And we just said, or the group if I was, okay, what's going to happen if we going to call this person wants to say to the sponsor, hey, she arrived safe in America. We gave her water, so she's hydrated enough. And then we called Border Patrol that she's safe here. You don't have to worry. So we said, okay, that's maybe a good idea to find out if this the sponsor is real, or it's just a person who gets the child, and then you will never know what's happening to this child again. You can think about it. There are some rumors about what's happening to children who are trafficked. They end up in child trafficking, child sex trafficking. They end up in prostitution. They end up somewhere where children really don't have to end up. And so we called this person, and this person was very annoyed from us to hear. So they didn't expect that we were calling them, and they were very angry, and they cursed and said to the girl, hey, call never again. We don't know you. We don't expect children, blah, blah, blah. So we told that border patrol, but I don't know what happened then. So, because border patrol took her to the facility. But this is a one sign where I say, okay, this is not a normal process. This is not good. So in this time, what happened is also that most of those children end up in the facilities, but the coyotes were also crossing. So the cartel guys, they don't end up in that. So the plan of the coyote is they send first a big group of children and families through the gaps. So border patrol is distracted and in processing them, finding out where they're going. So the coyotes can bring the fentanyl and all the high-end products like little children, babies into your country. And they up or they go straight in Pima County, 11 miles straight from this gap through the desert. They go. They end up in an NGO camp from the Catholic Church. So we went to this Catholic Church camp. Nobody let us in, but what we saw, there were a bunch of young boys. And when you walk down the trail to end up in this camp, you see a lot of camouflage clothing what they left. So this is what they're going to do in the middle of the night. They're coming to America in camouflage. Then they're going to change, let all their stuff in the desert, and then they get to the NGO camp. This is what I experienced in Arizona. So when I was in Roma, Texas, I saw a group of human traffickers who tried to bring children with a small boat, what you can fill up with air. It's not really safe to cross the Rio Grande and then bring them to America. And in this area, you always find a lot of wristbands with names and prices on it. This is also a sign of child trafficking, that the children wear a wristband with the price on it that the trafficker in America who picks them at the border to bring them to their places where they can sell them. And the traffickers in Mexico just make clear that they can cross the Rio Grande. So I saw with my own eyes that they tried to get 8 people over the Rio Grande, and they tried it 4 times. And the 4th times, 2 little boys made it and were in America. And then the National Guard took care of them and called Border Patrol to get them processed. But this is what's happening in the area of Roma, Texas. This month I was in Del Rio, and I didn't really saw child trafficking or human trafficking, but I saw dramatic scenes with a family who just crossed the Rio Grande in front of me. I made pictures of in a video while they're just crossing through the river, and then they were processed by the border patrol. These are very heartbreaking moments when you see how happy they are that they just survived. And there was a bunch of water in the Rio Grande right now, so it's not really easy to cross them by feet, and they did that. And then you see what's going on when the bus is coming. The border patrol puts the people all in buses, bring them to the border patrol station, then they get the first checkup if they are healthy enough. And when you go to the trails where the illegal aliens were, they are all medication rests. So like where they put the medication in, like flu medication, so they keep the people healthy to get processed, not get sent back or have to stay in quarantine. And then they open up them to America. So what sometimes happens, and that's what I learned in Del Rio, is that people get just released at the border patrol facility to America. Nobody knows where they're going. They have to pay their own ticket. So they're going to ask random persons at a gas station, hey, can you lend me money? Or even a woman try to sell her body at the NGO in Del Rio that she gets enough money to go buy a bus ticket and go then where she wants to go or has to go. And then we saw a family, and I talked to little children, and I asked them, hey, where's mommy and daddy? And they say, oh, mommy is here. So they showed me, and the mom and the dad, they talked to me. So they were really happy. And then this was what I believe they were really their parents. But they don't even know where they're going now. So they are waiting at this short-term NGO facilities. This is the real. And I had the chance to talk to the leader of this NGO. She said to me, this is only an NGO where the people stay mostly an hour or so. So they don't separate male and the families. And I think that's a very dangerous thing because you don't know what happens at the restrooms or something. Because there are a bunch of young guys and little girls, they can even easily eat them. But I don't know. So I wouldn't feel very safe there if they wouldn't separate the males from the girls or families, even if they are only staying for 2-3 hours or less. And then she said, yeah, she got funding. And then I asked her, okay, where your fundings are? Because you don't get funding from the government. No, we are not government funded. So then she told me, oh, Walmart is funding me, some other organizations funding her. And she sounded very, very curious about the problem with child trafficking because I asked her, what are you thinking about child trafficking? Yeah, we don't have that here. We only get families and single male, but she heard about a lot of and that is happening. So she didn't really wanted to talk about what I said. But what I was really curious about is that nobody knows where they are going now. So they just get released in your country. Border Patrol can't do anything against it because of the government says, hey, they are welcome here, and they get just released. You don't even know what you get in. So they lose their IDs everywhere on the way from Mexico to America. I found 5 IDs from people from Venezuela, Haiti, Cuba. So they don't even know where your country or your border patrol doesn't even know what people you get in your country. And they had about enough time to go to Mexico, get a visitor visa in Mexico to stay 4 months in Mexico. But then they can't get a Easter visa or something for your country. I don't think that they are the good guys who come into your country. So we can't really combine child trafficking with the invasion because there are 2 problems. I'm sure that child trafficking and the invasion are helping each other, but the child trafficking is much older, and the invasion now is actually to distract from this particular problem, child and human trafficking. And it's actually only to overflow your country with aliens and that you just don't know what's going on anymore.
You know, one of the most unfortunate things, and I'm sure you saw this when you were down there at the border, Vicky, is that we have local law enforcement and even state and national organizations like Homeland Security, Border Patrol, the National Guard. And a lot of these, if you talk to them off camera, they will tell you that they've been instructed not to push back against the illegal immigrations. On the contrary, they've been told and ordered that they're supposed to assist, to aid and abet all these illegals coming over to the country. Even Border Patrol, just process them. You know, right now, talking to Border Patrol, they said if they're going to be arrested for trespassing, but once they serve a couple of days in jail, Border Patrol gets them. And what Border Patrol does, they just release them to the NGOs. So it's very unfortunate that these things are happening. And we're glad that we have you on there so you can expose a lot of the stuff that is going on there. So Vicky, where can people follow and read your articles online?
So I have a homepage. It's vickyrichter.com. And there I'm going to publish most of my articles. But that's a new homepage, so I'm sorry that there are not a lot of articles published. So I actually published for an Austrian newspaper, but that's in German, and I tried to publish all my articles also in America, and I started publishing at a magazine. It's Patriot AF Mag. So that's a new magazine in Arizona, and it's only a print version because they can't censorship print. So they can censorship you everywhere online, but not on print. So I'm gonna publish there, and then I have a Telegram channel, and I have Getter and Instagram. But Instagram, I always get the information that I spread fake news. So when you wanna follow me there, you got this information. I spread fake news. But you can find all these social media channels on my webpage, So it's, I think that's easier to follow because of my accent telling you what the name would be. Sometimes it's hard to understand me. I'm so sorry for that.
No, it's fine. And your website is Vicky Richter, and that's VickyRichter.com. So that's everybody can follow you on your website, read your blog. Mm-hmm. So Vicky, in conclusion, as a German who witnessed the takeover of government tyranny, what is your message to Americans that think everything is still okay here?
Don't take your freedom for granted. Your founding fathers fought it hardly, and they, most of them, lost everything for the right what you now have, be a free country. And the socialist dictatorship is not even knocking on your door. They are totally stepped through the open door and have the first feet in it. So stand up and fight for your rights. Even try to get into school boards or support local politicians who really don't want to be a politician. They just have to because they see what's going on with your country. Support your veterans because they fought in foreign countries for your right to be so open and woke, and don't treat them like they were trash or something. And be proud to be American and don't lose this, and defend the Second Amendment, because this is the first thing what they tried to take away from you, because when they can take your guns away, it's not a big thing to take your freedom away.
Well, Vicky, we want to thank you for taking the time and talking to us. And we're very lucky to have somebody like you out there covering the news in a very non-biased manner. So thank you for being on the Keep Texas Red podcast, and hopefully we can have you back again soon.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Keep Texas Red podcast. Follow us on keeptexasred.org.